All right, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back. We are back. We're back. Excuse the delay here. We had a little slow down here, but we are thankful today for God and thankful today for another opportunity to come and worship and bring forth God's word this wonderful evening. We're grateful for all that He's doing. And truly, truly, it is an awesome time. It's again, another opportunity to come and hear God's word, another opportunity to come and be blessed by Almighty God. And we encourage you to share it out. Share it out to your friends, your loved ones. Share it out again on your social media. Amen. The service this evening, the message this evening. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do here in this evening. Now, I want to remind you again, our Bible study is Tuesday night as well. Bible study is Tuesday night. Come, be with us, 7:30. 7:30 this Tuesday night Bible study that we'll be having. And then I want to remind you again, our Thursday evening service as well at 7:30 at 334 Ashford Street. Come on out, bring a friend, bring a loved one. It'll be a service in person at 334 Ashford Street. Come on out and be with us. I want to also give you an opportunity to give unto the Lord. We thank God for your offerings and tithing. I shared with this morning about, again, the need to support. It's how you get your blessings, how you say thank you back to God. And through your tithing offerings, we can continue to encourage you to give unto Him, and He will truly, truly bless you. And so through your tithing offerings, we can give. Text to give is one of the ways you can do it, 347-229-9933. That's 347-229-9933. You can also give through our website at www.myntcc.org/BrooklynNY. BrooklynNY. So we encourage you to give unto the Lord. And then also we have Zelle. We have Zelle online banking. If you have that, you can set it up through Zelle. And you can use the church email. Church email as a contact that you would send it to is ntccbrooklynny@gmail.com. So it's various ways to give. Some give that way, some mail. But you have to give us a contact if you want to mail something in. Don't send it to the church address, but you will send it to a different address for the mailing. So we say thank you in advance for your giving. Say thank you in advance for, again, all that the Lord lays upon your heart to give today. Amen. I want to come out of the 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to cover 1 through 6 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 6 this evening. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made to for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want to look at verses 1 and 2 again. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So for a little bit today, we're going to give it a title this evening about interceding for mankind, interceding for mankind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your love. God, we pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, God, you will move and touch lives and souls of men and women, Lord, this evening. God, bless in a mighty way. Bless. And God, touch hearts and souls, God. Your will be done, God. Your blessings will be done. Your word, God, will go forth and men and women will receive that you will have in store for us today. God, I pray, God, by your spirit, God, just move and lodge in every heart, every soul, every mind. And we give you thanks and glory and honor. In Jesus' my name we pray, amen, amen. We thank God today for his goodness. We thank God today for, again, another opportunity to come and worship him. And many of us are here on this broadcast this evening. Many are still alive today. Many are, again, in their right mind today. Many are able to even just be blessed enough to come to the knowledge of knowing to whether to worship God and serve God because of one thing, and that is through intercession. Being able to have even know about God because somebody was willing to intercede. Somebody was willing to intercede for you and I. Intercession, to be that go-between. To be that go-between, we talked about this morning about our youth and our next generation coming up. How that even our generation, generations before, it was somebody who interceded. Someone who had enough sense to call on God. Someone who had enough sense to worship God. Somebody who had enough sense to bless God. Somebody who had enough sense to say, you know what, we need the Lord. And due to that, we find that we are here and saved because somebody interceded for us. Hearing the word of God, Timothy was instructed by the Apostle Paul, letters written to Timothy from the Apostle, who was telling him various things about ministry. He was telling various things about his life, telling him various things about what to face, he would face, and various things, again, how to live a godly life. And really, this letter is a form of intercession as well. Intercession, the word of God is like a form of intercession to where it goes between God and man, from God's mouth to our ears. And though actually used by men of God that wrote the scriptures, and God spoke to men again and began to speak to them to write these words, to write the words that we enjoy and we read today. And it was a form of intercession. How that they were the conduit between God and man. Now that they would go before the Lord, and God told him exactly what to write. And here the apostle told Timothy exactly what God had wanted. The Bible says he exhorted, therefore, that first of all, in supplications and prayers and intercession is the title, interceding for man. He says, a giving of thanks and to be made for men. Interceding for men and praying for men. No doubt, supplications for men. Seeking God's face for men. Seeking the Lord. Amen. And making a petition to God for mankind. For all men from all races, all kindreds and creeds. Male and female. Young and old. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. Whoever you may be, European, African descent, it did not matter, for all men. All men from all walks of life, he said, pray and intercede. Men and women, no doubt we need God. We need God more than ever. On this President's Day weekend, I was just thinking about it. Let's take some time out to pray. Some time out to pray for our leaders, for our president, for our government officials. They need prayer. They need prayer. There's a lot of pressure, believe it or not. Again, it's easy to find fault with, again, leaders, regardless of parties, regardless of where they may stand or who they may be. We as a people, it's easy to find fault. But do are we would to God that we will pray more than we do the rest. We oftentimes get caught up in the politics of it all. But Timothy was told, he says, I need you to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray. Again, they was living in a time where it was a tough decision, whether it's no doubt pressure from various factions to where they had to lock the Christian up, to where they had to stop this Jesus from being talked about, to where they had to be make a decision on whether to destroy, put in jail, or lock up, verse 5, whatever you want, how you want to put it, to get rid of the Christians in that day. Naturally, it was difficult choices. Naturally, the pressure. But you know what? Paul said, pray for them. Paul no doubt rubbed elbows with many of them. He no doubt had meetings with various one of them before he came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He no doubt made decisions concerning the church. And so he can only imagine the pressure and the money and the things that went on to dissuade the gospel from going forward. And not just for the gospel, but any and every legislation, any and every decision that people are in the positions of authority have to make. And the Bible says we must pray for them. Pray that they'll make the right choices. Pray that they'll make the right choices concerning the church, concerning spirituality, concerning well-being for mankind. Praying that they'll make sound judgments and show justice in our legal system as well. And the Bible says to pray for them, to pray for them. That no doubt, again, because it's not easy. The Bible says in number two, who do we pray for? He says, first, all men. Number two, he says, for kings and all that are in authority. For the kings of the day, for the presidents and governors of our day, for mayors, for leaders, councilmen, congressmen, pray for people that are in authority. We pray, no doubt, we're finding laws, ungodly laws that are being passed. You've heard us talk about it before. Ungodly laws, things that are against God. And as a church, we have to intercede, fall on our faces and call on God. The God will intercede and touch the hearts of men and women. And these laws, ungodly laws, only hurt. They don't really help. It seems as if they're making things better. They think that they're making things better, but that's not sound judgment. It's really, it's oftentimes, especially the legalization of things that are against mankind. Whether it's a legalization of drugs or legalization of more sin, it only hurts man. And so the Bible tells us we must intercede and say, God, touch their hearts. God, touch their minds. We find various stories in the Bible from Daniel, how Daniel interceded and prayed. God would change Nebuchadnezzar's heart. God changed various ones, David's heart. There were times, no doubt, even Moses interceded and called on God for Pharaoh, that God would touch his heart. There are times throughout the Bible where God would instruct them to call fast and times of prayer. Why? Because the church, the body of believers needed to pray to see a miracle done in the land. And no doubt to see, again, things change. And so he says we must pray for those in authority. First of all, that we leave a quiet and peaceable life. You see, today when we call on God, it's a blessing. God didn't intend for us to go out rioting in the streets. He said, no, you can go to heaven and call on God. Go to the throne room and pray. Seek, you know, fall on your knees and seek the Lord and watch God turn things around. The Bible says that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. The Bible says in all godliness and honesty. And so naturally we see the power of prayer. The power of prayer. He says we can fight our battles in prayer. We can fight our battles in spirituality. We can fight our battles again, and what more can be done in the spiritual realm than any physical realm. I said it again, more can be done in the spiritual than in the physical. Yes, we have to do our part physically as well, but you know what? There's power behind again every occasion that we do. There's power behind prayer. There's power when we put it over to God. He's more than able to meet every need. Let's go. The Bible says here, the next verse, he tells us how, he says, For it, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear and make our petition known unto him. He said we must intercede and pray. This is good. This is good for people to pray. It's good for people to seek his face and call on the living God. He is still the answer to get God involved, to get God and the power from on high to deal with the powers down here, to deal with the principalities down here. We need a higher authority. We have a higher authority. Authority and it's Almighty God tonight. The Bible says in verse 4, he says, who shall have all men to be saved? You see, when we call on God, God does something special. He touches and pricks hearts. Perhaps even the very man who wrote this, Paul, he was not always Paul. His name was Saul before. He was alive during, right after Jesus had been resurrected. He was an authority. He, for many years, persecuted the church. The Bible tells us here, now look what God had done. Look what prayer had done. It changed this man's heart. Naturally, the Bible says in the book of Acts how he would breathe out threatenings. He would wreak havoc in the church to where the believers of God were afraid and where they were thrown in jail and beheaded and killed for various reasons. And the Bible says, I can only imagine people praying. God touched that man, Saul of Tarsus. God touched that man, Saul of Tarsus. Jesus, do something for that man, Saul of Tarsus. Do something for the Roman Empire. Speak to the leaders. Speak to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Touch their hearts, Lord. No doubt the church probably prayed and prayed and prayed. They sought the Lord's face. You read another place where they threw Peter in jail. The Bible says they went to pray. They didn't protest outside the jail. They didn't go knocking on the sheriff's door, ready to burn down the jail. The Bible says they prayed. They prayed and sought the Lord's face. The Bible says in Peter, in nighttime, God opened up, sent an angel and opened up the door. And as they were praying, the Bible says a knock came on the door. In the middle of their prayer meeting, God, Peter showed up. Wait a minute, Peter. Who is this? They thought it was a ghost. The Bible says, and how that he, when he prayed, they prayed, Peter showed up, left the jail, came all the way back to the house, and they were in there interceding. God showed the miracle right there in the middle of it. In the middle of your prayer, we pray that God will show you miracle. God will answer even right there in the midst of it all. The Bible says that Peter knocked on the door, and naturally they all rejoiced because Peter, in the middle of their prayer meeting, was released from jail. They were praying that Peter would be able to live. They were praying that he would be released, and God answered their prayers. But God touched the leaders, touched the Roman Empire, touched the U.S. government, touched the New York City government, touched God, New York State, touched God, all the leaders all around this globe, whatever country you may be from. God, I'm watching, seeing people watching from Guyana, touched the Guyanese leaders today. God touched, God, souls of men and women from all walks of life. Some watching from over in Africa, some watching over in Asia tonight, some from the Middle East. God touched leaders. Touch God, we even pray for Putin. We pray, God, for the situation in Ukraine. Touch the Chinese leaders, on and on and on, that they'll come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to pray. We pray for our President Biden here, who's the current president. And whenever you see this broadcast or whenever you hear this broadcast, whoever the current president may be, if the Lord tarries, touch them as well. The Bible says he, so they prayed that all men would be saved. Back to verse 4, that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Naturally, they prayed for Paul. His name was Saul. They prayed for him that he would wake up. And naturally, God heard their prayer. On the way to do more damage for the church, on the way to do more damage to the church, to do more damage to the Christians. The Bible says on the road to Damascus, God touched him. You see, God is able to move right before another horrible decision. He was on his way to do more damage to the church, but God spoke to his heart. And no doubt through the power of prayer, whatever's going on, your enemies, your naysayers, whoever it may be, sometimes it comes and and looking to do the enemy, looking to do harm and damage to the church, or do harm and damage to you, fall on our knees and call on God, and God can change things, that they'll come to know Jesus. And when Jesus saw this man, he spoke to this man from heaven and said, "Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you fighting against me?" And immediately this man's life would be changed. He fell on his face and began to pray, and God saved the man. God changed this man, changed his life around. And now we find him writing stories about Jesus. We find him writing stories about God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stepped in on the scene. Jesus stepped in and was able to call on God. He says there's one mediator between God and men. The mediator stepped in and says, "Wait a minute, I died for these people. I died for you, Saul. Why are you doing this? There's a better way." And Jesus showed him a better way. And you know what? The mediator, thank God for Jesus. He showed us a better way. He died on the cross and took our place, went to hell for us. The mediator paid the ultimate price, that we didn't have to do it, that we didn't have to die and go to hell. Thank God for the mediator tonight. I'm talking about, he was the ultimate intercessor. We talk about intercessing for men. The Bible says he left glory and began to pray, give his life. He left heaven to die for our sins. And the Bible says here today, he is that mediator. He was that one, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The Bible says he is that mediator, the one between God our Father and men. Aren't you grateful that he stepped in and took our place? He took the hit for us. He took the wound for us. He took the blow. He took the nails for us. We thank God for Jesus being that mediator tonight. The Bible says the man, who is the man? He is the man, Christ Jesus. In verse 5, he says he's the man that you look to, the man you call on, the one that you need to seek when you're in trouble, the one that you need to seek when you're sick, the one that you need to call on when the family's upside down, the one that you call on when you need answers, the mediator, the go-between, the ultimate intercessor, Jesus Christ. And I call on him, my friend, tonight. We call on Jesus tonight for kings. We call on Jesus tonight for our leaders. We call on Jesus tonight for our family. We call on Jesus Christ for one another. We call on Jesus to move and intercede and bless in a mighty way, the man Jesus Christ tonight.
As we wrap this up, verse 6, the Bible says he gave himself for all. He gave himself for to be testified in due time. To be testified in due time. He did it for all mankind, and we pray that in due time, that if you don't know him, you will begin to testify of who he is. If you don't know him, we pray that tonight, don't go another night without knowing who Jesus is and being your Lord and your Savior. He said, no doubt, that many women over time would come to know him. As we pray for our leaders, for kings and all men, the Bible says, they will one day testify and say, "I was lost." As the ruler of Daniel's day testified and said, "I make a decree that the God of Daniel is the one that we serve. The God will be glorified. And they will testify the living God." Then no doubt many women from all walks of life would testify and say, "He is the Christ." A man of Festus, how that he told Paul one time, he says, "Thou almost persuadest me. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. He almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And naturally, we pray that they will be fully persuaded. That will be fully persuaded. They will come to know that he would be saved. Same as Agrippa and the various ones, King Agrippa. They were asking And actually, it was Agrippa who had made that statement. He says, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul was in there trying to tell Festus and even Agrippa of the power of Jesus. And even though they may not ever come to the knowledge of Christ, we don't know if they ever did, Paul was interceding for them. Right there in their face, he wasn't ashamed to tell them. John the Baptist, we covered last week, was not ashamed to tell him. He wasn't afraid to tell Herod, "Hey, you need to repent and get right with God." Same message of Jesus. Jesus said the same thing, to turn from the wicked ways and get to God. Naturally, today, he was an intercessor for us. My friend, today, as we wrap it up, he said he gave himself a ransom for all. As we share with you, speak about the crucified one, to be testified in due time. Intercede for your children. Intercede for your spouse. Intercede for your grandchildren. Intercede for nieces and nephews. Intercede for co-workers. Intercede for total strangers. Intercede for your city. Intercede for your pastor. Intercede for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Intercede for men. Intercede and call on God. Pray for one another. We all need prayer. The Bible says interceding for men. To be that one. Children, if you're saved, intercede for your parents. Perhaps your parents are not saved. Call on God for your parents. Call on God for your uncle, your auntie. Call on God. Men and women, they intercede for one another. When we intercede for one another, it's a sign of love for one another. There's a sign of love that would be shared abroad all around the globe if men and women would seek God for one another. He said that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. I would to God to see, as we shared with you a few weeks ago, there wouldn't be no need for war because men and women would intercede for one another. Our enemies would intercede. We would intercede for our enemies, and they would no longer be our enemies. We would have to fight battles and wars because men and women were praying for one another, loving one another, the power of intercessory prayer. So we know that that's something that God requires. So on this weekend, as I was thinking about it, I said, let's intercede for our leaders. The Bible says, as we wrap it up, let's go back to the opening verses, verse 1. The Bible says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and the prayers and intercessions is given thanks be made for all men." Verse 2 is our last one. He says, "For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." My friend, today, intercede. Look to the great intercessor, Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, give him your life, the one who took our place, came a ransom, died on the cross for us and for you, that we could be saved. Call on Jesus tonight. He wants to hear from you. He is that go-between, between our Father and mankind. There's no other way. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way we can get to the Father but through him. He's the only one. There's no other being, no other way but through Jesus Christ. Seek his face, call on him, ask him to save you. If you're not saved this evening, ask Jesus, say, "Jesus, save me tonight. I want to be saved. I believe what the price you paid on that cross for me. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Wash me clean of all my sins. Forgive me. Make me whole. Make me new. I want to be born again." Today, let Jesus be your Savior. Tonight, church, we continue to seek God's face. The great intercessor loves us. He cares for us. Naturally, he wants you and I to see him one day eternally. Let's continue to intercede. There are other men as well. If you're a believer tonight, there are other men as well can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Our prayer. We look forward to seeing you this Tuesday night. Continue to pray with us. Pray with us throughout the week. Pray with us for our city, for one another, for your family and friends and loved ones. Intercede.
Seek the Lord's face. There's power in prayer. God bless you. I pray we'll see you soon.